getting ready for the dreaded NPTE? How about winning a fully loaded NPTE home study bundle from ptfinalexam.com? Here's how to win. Follow us on Twitter at ptpinecast or enter online at ptpinecast.com. This is the PT Pinecast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pinecast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
The next episode of the PT Pinecast is tonight. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Tonight we talk to a guy, wow, resume as long as my arm and just as humble too. I'm going to throw you under the bus, Brad. Hang on. Brad Thuringer, PTA, graduate from the PTA program at Lake Area Technical Institute in Watertown, South Dakota. And since 2001, he served as the ACCE and instructor at the LATI PTA program. Prior to academia, he worked in a variety of settings, including acute care, outpatient, skilled nursing facilities, and home health. He provides therapy services, PRN, PTA with the Brookings Health System in Brookings, South Dakota, and that's where he's hanging out with us tonight. Brad, welcome to the PT Pinecast.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, first question is always the hardest. What are we drinking tonight?
Well, it's my Bud Light favorite here when I'm home.
Right, and when you're away, what do you like to drink? What's your flavor?
Well, when I'm on the East Coast, I'm doing the Yingling if I can get it.
There we go, America's oldest brewery. I like that a lot. Tonight, my beer, and again, my goal is to have a different beer with each episode. We're going back to the Bell's Brewery for their Two-Hearted Ale. So let's just set the table. We met a few weeks ago when you were in the D.C. area. You were working with the Next Conference Planning Committee. And I think we've got a streak going on. You're kind of like the Lou Gehrig of the physical therapy assistant world. Didn't you go to something like 17 consecutive conferences?
Yes. I've been very fortunate that I've been able to have that opportunity. My employer, of course, gives me that time away. And so, yeah, feel pretty fortunate to have been to that many.
17 in a row, and it doesn't look like you're slowing down now. So we met when you were in D.C. Now you're part of the Next Planning Committee, so not only going to conferences, but setting them up and putting them together. What are some things that you love to see at conferences? What keeps you coming back?
Oh, it's the people. You know, it's those people who I met years ago that are there again, and we actually plan on reunions and look forward to those times. Person who I met for the first time at the last conference that I'm hoping to, you know, have an opportunity to reconnect again. You know, going through the exhibit halls, get to meet the exhibitors, get to see some of the latest stuff as far as equipment. No matter which conference, you get this energy from it.
Yeah.
And so it's almost kind of like this addiction that you got to go because it just gets you going for the next one.
Yeah, I've been to a few Next conferences, been going to a couple state conferences, possibly if I can get off time from school, going to a combined sections meeting. And it is fun. You see some of the same people, but you also always wind up meeting somebody new. And of course, I like it because we get to go to a happy hour and definitely meet some people. And that's kind of where this podcast was born out of.
Well, it is the socials that do seem to make those friendships a little bit tighter and allows you to meet some people that you wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah. I want to make sure people know about you because you were so unassuming when I met you. We were doing a bourbon tasting in Alexandria, Virginia. And then I did my homework. South Dakota Physical Therapy Association Outstanding PTA Award. You just won it, I don't know, three times. The Foundation for Physical Therapy, the Robert C. Bartlett Award for Innovation and Fundraising. You grabbed that in 2009. You got a long list of awards. I'm not even halfway done yet. And then you just win the big one. APTA Outstanding Physical Therapist Assistant of the Year in 2015. Man, what's your mantle look like? Do you have enough room for another trophy or what?
I've been very fortunate. I've had a lot of good mentors in my early career, and it has much to do with them and just having a lot of opportunities to be able to be involved.
And I wanted to make sure I read all those awards because I've known you for a couple hours, again, met a couple weeks ago, and something tells me that you wouldn't have brought those up. So I wanted to make sure we got those out there because those are some big deal awards. You know, it shows you've got an initiative and you've got dedication to the practice field. So I wanted to make sure people knew who we were talking to.
Thanks, Jimmy.
The APTA once called you the busiest PTA in the country. Now, how did you get that moniker?
Well, probably attending a lot of the venues. You know, I've been to 17 annual conferences, probably 10 combined sections. I've been to 7 student conclaves. I've been able to serve in various leadership roles that take me to private practice section meetings. Also involved with the Commission on Accreditation for Physical Therapy. And I haven't been bored ever since I got involved. And so to me, you have to get invested in your profession, because if you don't try to grow through your knowledge or through your skills, you're going to diminish. You're not going to be able to be as effective as you would want to be. And even though sometimes you're in the meetings and you're having those conversations, sometimes it's those conversations that direct you to somebody to help you grow a little bit further, or to tell you about a course that you should go to because it's that good and you need to go hear that lecture or that speaker. That's what hopefully has allowed me to maybe do and be, but I didn't set out to do this. This was not something that I thought was even available to me when I first started as a student, let alone my first conference.
So was it the first conference that kind of got you hooked, that interaction with people and just kind of knowing that you could learn, you learn a lot at these conferences?
Well, my first conference was in 1998. I had $1,000 continuing ed coming from my employer. Annual meeting was in Orlando, Florida.
Nice.
So I was able to book my flight, get my registration and my lodging and my food all in $1,000. Now, I was going to a venue I'd never experienced before, didn't really know anybody. And so when I was hearing the call out for volunteers to sit at a booth, to pass out a flyer, or just to kind of be there to help guide and direct, I thought, I could either sit in my hotel room and walk away thinking, you know, okay, I heard a good lecture, but that was it. Or I could really take advantage of being there, meeting people. And so I signed up for about everything that I could.
Good.
And it was from that, somebody says, Brad, you got to meet so-and-so. Or, this is Brad Thurns from South Dakota. Have you met anybody from South Dakota? And normally they hadn't. So, you know, that always opened up another conversation. And so, and just following up with them and thanking them for that time that they spent with me. I mean, that's what made these things just evolve.
Yeah.
So I had to go back to the next one. I had to continue those relationships and get that opportunity again.
Well, you've been to 17 of them. What are some of your favorite cities that the conferences have been in? Everybody always looks forward to where the next one's going to be located.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, and when you've been in it as long, and people have been in it longer than I have, but it cycles through, so you kind of look forward to the next time. Boston, I love Boston. I for the first time, was in San Diego a couple of years ago for combined sections. I had missed that a few years back. That's a beautiful area. New Orleans is always fun. See, I love food, and I love the historical parts of these cities and getting to take in that rich history and stuff. So, you know, and even D.C., as many times as I've been there, I enjoy going back in each and every time.
Yeah, not a bad town, the nation's capital. Beyond doing all those things I mentioned before, busiest PTA in America, currently serving as the APTA's Physical Therapy Political Action Committee, so the PT PAC trustee. And we always hear about those guys and what those guys can do. First of all, what the hell is the PAC?
Well, it's our Physical Therapy Political Action Committee. And the PAC was established several years back to be our vehicle to help raise money to employ our lobbyists and to have a voice on the Hill. And to gain those audiences, to be able to hopefully direct policy that would open things up for our profession, but more so for our patients, to allow them to have access and no limitations in the care. So what's coming up? Well, obviously, a few months back, there was the bill in which that we were hopeful that would eliminate the therapy cap. And we've been hitting that for years and always got the extensions and stuff. And we were short. So, you know, we got to go back there. We got the extension now to January of 2018. So we got some time. So we know we got to get that taken care of. Concussion bill is always something that is, you know, something a little bit more newer to our profession and supporting and making sure that athletes don't go back onto the field practicing and participating. Student loan payback for therapists actually being part of that bill. So, you know, there's been some of those common themes. And I know sometimes people go, well, I've been giving you money, but it doesn't seem like we've been getting anywhere. Well, let me tell you, now is not the time to stop, because we are actually now making further headways and getting more support than we had before. It's because we keep on going back. We're showing them. We say, this is how many members now we're supporting. And we're getting our patients more involved in writing those letters and sharing their personal stories, because that's what they're listening to, is those home constituents.
Because our patients are the people who get them elected. So it's good to have a voice. And that's why the PAC is important. Is it make sure Absolutely. That we consistently have a voice, whether you're in South Dakota or Oregon or California or Texas. It happens here at one spot on Capitol Hill in the D.C. area. And if we don't have a voice, we don't have a chance. So at least with the Political Action Committee, we have a chance.
Now, I was at a meeting, the Educators Leadership Conference, just a few weeks back in Baltimore. And you know, as people see us coming, they're already kind of putting up the shield or saying, I gave locally. Well, you know, the local front is one thing. And certainly there's a lot of state issues that are different than the national issues. But they still have to give to the national PAC. And as much as we have to fight our local battles, we got to fight our national battles too. So, you know, if you gave $20, that's our theme, you know, give us a Jackson. And we surveyed members a year ago to ask them what would be a comfortable amount. And we got it back pretty strong, that $20 is something we could give. So if half of our members would give $20, our political action group, the PT PAC, would be in the top two or three of the medical industry's political action groups. And boy, that to me, that would ripple the hill. We would get much more attention.
And I think students, by the time they're a third year student, have heard some of these things whizzing by their heads because they're paying attention to classes and trying to study for exams and paying attention to the MPTE, which is coming up. But these things that are kind of far in advance, and we're talking about student loan payback, and we're talking about the therapy cap, those things are going to affect you as soon as you leave this little bubble of PT school. But these things are going to affect us, and putting our head in the sand really isn't going to help us get any headway. So the PT PAC is our voice exactly where it needs to be, which is Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, physical therapist assistants, you know, sometimes feel that, you know, this maybe isn't their battle or it's not their issue. But to me, I disagree with that because, you know, I look at it as I got to support my PT because basically I work under them and I'm their extension. So if I don't support them and to making sure that their practice is secure and direct access is there and have that autonomous practitionership, I'm not going to flourish. So, you know, as much as I may not be making as much, I still have to make that personal investment because you guys are the ones that are going to utilize me. And I hope you appreciate what we can provide and allow you to have more growth in your practice if you, you know, allow us to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Something I heard was that your philosophy is if you say yes, you will get better. We all get better. What does that mean?
Oh, you know, the thing of it is I know sometimes we have tendencies to say, you know, well, not now, or it's not the right time, or maybe later. But the thing of it is if we just said yes, just to kind of making sure that we give something, put forth something, volunteer for something, attend a course, something that will help us grow or put towards a financial cause or our initiatives. I mean, really, can you just imagine how our profession would be? So if we all just said yes, how that would make our profession such more of an open environment for everybody. I mean, really, it's easy to say no. It's hard to say yes, I understand, but
more and more people doing it with something like the PT Day of Service, which just Absolutely. Took place, PT Pub Night Untapped, which was PT Pub Nights across the country, the Stand for Haiti group, who is looking to raise funds to go down in Haiti and provide autonomous service down there. So I think social media has a good way of now shining a good light on all those people who are doing exactly what you said, which is saying yes and raising their hand and saying, I'll help, I'll volunteer. And I think that's one good thing. I think social media takes some flack, but this is one good way that social media can just shine a light on things that are already happening and maybe inspire other people to do something similar.
Well, yeah, and it's just easy for us to say, well, you know, I'm going to let the other guy do it. Or the other guy's a little bit more financially able to do it. Or the other guy has a little bit more time. I got family. But, you know, it doesn't have to take $1,000 out of your pocketbook. It could just take a 20. It may not take several hours in your week. It may just take 10 minutes. So just that little extra, if you just added it up, boy, I mean, it would be like the domino effect. And it would just be huge at the end.
All right, I want to take a 60-second break. I want to give you some details on how you can win a chance to get your own NPTE study bundle from ptfinalexam.com. Listen for the details on that. When we come back, the thing that you were so humble and didn't tell me about when we first met, I'm talking about Shoes for Kids. This is the event that I said, wait, you're the Shoes for Kids guy? How did I not know that? So back in 60 seconds with Brad Thuringer on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
The NPTE. The big scary monster that waits for you at the end of PT school. To pass, just answer a question every 72 seconds for 5 hours on topics you've been covering over the last 3 years of PT school. Ugh, no pressure, right? Well, the PT Pinecast has your back. We've teamed up with PTFinalExam.com to get you through the test with ease. We're giving you a chance to win a PT Final Exam Home Study Bundle, loaded with a study guide book with over 200 pages of critical info, over 200 sample NPTE questions, over 25 hours of video lectures that cover the topics and practice questions, a recorded version of the popular Mastermind study groups, and a case full of beer. Oh, wait, there's no beer? Okay, never mind. This is how you pass the NPTE without losing any sleep. Here's how to win. Follow us on Twitter at PT Pinecast. Sign up to win online at ptpinecast.com. We're giving away 3 PT Final Exam Home Study Bundles. Get yours now from PT Final Exam and the PT Pinecast. This is the PT Pinecast.
And we're back on the PT Pinecast, talking to us all the way from Watertown, South Dakota. It's Brad Thuringer, PTA extraordinaire, currently the APTA's Outstanding Physical Therapy Assistant of the Year in 2015. And Brad, you buried the lead. Now, when we met a few weeks ago, we were at a bourbon tasting, and I had some Liquid Logic going on, and we just started shooting the breeze, and you were telling me all about you going to conferences, and then all of a sudden you slipped in. Oh, yeah. I kind of started this little itty-bitty nonprofit charity that works in conjunction with the APTA. It's called Shoes for Kids. And I was like, wait a minute. I've heard of Shoes for Kids a lot. That's you. You're the Shoes for Kids guy. So how did this start?
Oh, wow. Back in 2006. You know, living in the Midwest and very rural, there are things that we know that, you know, are sometimes unfortunate things in our world, and that is those individuals that are probably homeless and pretty out in the open. And we have that in South Dakota, but it's not as visible. I always wanted to making sure that when I went into a city visiting that I was giving something back besides leaving a tip on a table at a restaurant or something. And as I would walk from the hotel to the convention center, I would see the homeless. I would see the individuals that were asking for handouts and stuff. And then a friend of mine, we came across a family. And, you know, that bothered me because as we were visiting with the family, it just looked like the kids didn't have the necessities. And so when we were walking away from it, I said, that's what our cause is. And that is we're going to come each time at annual conference and we're going to bring some shoes. We're going to find some type of service organization and we're going to give them shoes, hopefully that they can distribute to the families. And that's what we started. And it was in Orlando in 2006. We were going through then the lobby with about 50 some pairs of shoes and people were kind of wondering, well, what's all this about? And we said, we're going to go make some kids happy and some families, hopefully, in a better place. And they said, well, let us know next year. And it's just growing from there. So
first year, Orlando, 50 pairs of shoes. And 50 pairs of shoes is a lot, but it's gotten a little bit bigger. Since 2006, Shoes for Kids has distributed over 9,700 pairs of new shoes to children. And are we, fingers crossed, going to cross that 10,000 pairs of shoes mark this year?
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited about it. We're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. The day is June 11th, which is a Saturday. We're teaming up with Belmont University, the DPT students there. So they're all pumped. They're already doing fundraisers. We've been teaming up with a local university DPT program for the last 5 years. And the reason for that was previous to that, trying to get location was kind of a challenge. And the only way that I really knew how at that time was load up my SUV and pack them up from South Dakota and drive wherever the annual was going to be. And it usually was on the East Coast and somewhere thousands of miles away. And then the other boxes that couldn't fit in my vehicle would be shipped. And of course, you're spending quite a bit of money on shipping. It was a reception. It was one of those social hours. I was telling the story because everybody was kind of wondering how that year was going to happen. And they said, Brad, you need to team up with the university. And I said, I've been trying to work it. It hasn't come to fruition yet. She goes, let me talk to somebody. We're going to make that happen. And so St. Augustine was our very first one that teamed up with us. And that year that we were in Tampa for that conference. And so they drove 2.5 hours. All the shoes were shipped to them. And I got to fly into Tampa. And that was the first time I actually didn't have to worry about spending 2.5 days on the road.
Driving them all the way there. Driving all the shoes. Yeah. So you are doing literally the legwork for shoes for kids to get the shoes where they need to go.
Oh, yeah. It was a family affair. And basically, my office turned into kind of a warehouse. And then I would bring them home and we would sort and get everything ready and box them. And so our family room was always covered during this time with shoes and socks. It was a family effort. And so my families went with me on several different occasions. Couldn't do it without them.
So are you looking for specifically, because I know there's some PT students and PTs are out there, PTA students and PTAs who would want to help, be inspired by something like this. Are you looking for new shoes, slightly gently used? What fits the criteria for shoes for kids?
Well, I'm going to be a little selfish. They got to be new.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's kids deserve a new pair of shoes.
Absolutely.
It allows them to have the special experience to where we will be able to hopefully put in front of them 3 pairs of new shoes that they get to select from as far as, you know, a color or style that they like. I like going to an actual shoe store, but we want to at least give them that experience that they get a choice. And so, yeah, new shoes and new socks and hopefully make some smiles and make some families have a good time.
Is there a website people can check out online that'll give them information for this or what?
You know what? I'm shameful to say, as many years as I've been doing this, the website has not been something that I've gotten on to because, for one, it's always been maybe a time thing. And secondly, how did I want to present it? They always say, man, in this day and age, you got to have one. And eventually, it got to happen. But I guess if you Google Brad Thuringer or Shoes for Kids, you'll find me.
Got it. So if someone wanted to get involved, just as simple as buying a new pair of shoes and bring it to a conference?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, if you did at annual or combines, all you got to do is you can do one of two things. The Foundation for Physical Therapy is who I partner up with a lot in raising money for research. And so they're aware of me. And so a lot of times shoes get dropped off at them. The PT pack booth. You know, if you walk around with a pair of shoes and ask where the shoe guy is, where we can take some shoes, APTA staff or somebody's going to say, you can leave them here. We'll find Brad.
Brad will be by in an hour and we'll be able to drop those things off. Well, hey, man, crossing my fingers, I'll be bringing a pair of shoes out to Omaha. Over 9,700 pairs of new shoes to children looking to break. I don't know why. I think we just set it up. We like to see a big number go up and 10,000 pairs would just feel like a really cool thing.
Oh, yeah. Each year, has increased the collection. So what had happened is last year in Charlotte, there was 1,275 pairs of shoes that got collected over that time. Then this past June, it was Virginia Commonwealth University's time. And so it was 1,300 pair. They had to get at least 1,300 pairs. So now Belmont University is now looking, okay, we got to get at least 1,325 or something. And so, you know, I just kind of pity the next group, but I think that's kind of what makes it competitive and it makes it fun. And it's been the schools, but it's also been the people who attend annual conference too. You know, you've heard that the House of Delegates, the delegates that attend that governance meeting prior to the next conference. I mean, those people, those 400 and some people that attend, the leaders of the state, they've embraced this. So, you know, they're role modeling it. They've embraced this and accepted this, and that's what it really has helped to carry this project forward.
We talk about that personal connection, and that's really getting people involved, and maybe by keeping it with that personal connection, you're really getting people to see that one-on-one, the importance of what you're actually doing, and maybe that inspires someone else to to see another problem in society and make their own shoes for kids for something else.
Yeah, and see, this wasn't an original idea. I mean, you have charitable organizations that do things very similar to this, and it's a lot of times over in countries abroad. And I was thinking, you know, we got some things here we can take care of, and why not in the cities while we're there? And I tell you what, when people ask, when we're there at these shelters and these agencies are there, they go, God, where are these coming from? Where are these shoes coming from? Who are you? And when I can proudly say that we're from the American Physical Therapy Association, students, doctor of physical therapy students and physical therapy assistant students from around the country have purchased these shoes from California to Virginia, from Maine to Florida. I mean, it just blows them away. And to know that we've kind of now made this such an annual event, you know, people just look forward to it. And when I call, you know, I start the process 8 to 10 months ahead, and I start calling around these agencies, and I go, oh, say, by the way, we're coming in June, and we're just wondering if you'd like to partner up, because we're going to probably bring in about, hopefully, 1,300 pairs of shoes. They don't get those phone calls. No. They sometimes don't know how to handle that, you know, type of donation.
Yeah. Can you say that again? How many pairs of shoes?
Yeah. And then, you know, several thousand pairs of socks. I mean, the socks mountains is, I mean, the kids probably get just as excited about, you know, a pair of socks that have the wild colors or the Superman things on them or whatnot. I mean, you know, it is just touching to the heart just to see them come into that room.
I'm in. If you're headed to a conference, doesn't matter which one, see somebody at the APTA staff. They'll know where Brad is.
Yeah.
Just ask for the shoes for kids guy, and we'll see if we can crack that 10,000 pairs of shoe barrier to give to kids. That's awesome.
Well, by you allowing me to be on here and a part of this, I know we'll make that happen. And I can't thank you enough for giving me that time at that bourbon tasting to listen to my story. And I have to commend you for what you have done. And I was telling you that I heard you present video-wise at your state conference and how they have appreciated how you have taken this forward. So I commend you. You're doing something very unique, and I think it's great. So.
Well, thanks very much. I mean, I think that when you are in a field like physical therapy and you go to happy hours or social events, or you're sitting next to someone in a presentation before it starts, there are stories like yours in every conference. There's lots of them. And I figure if I just keep asking people, eventually I'm just going to find all these amazing stories, and I just want to share them.
Yeah, it's just so mind-boggling. I was sitting at that Education and Leadership Conference in Baltimore. Now, my first kind of Shoes for Kids event, you know, I reached out to programs, and there was this program in Virginia, PTA program, and man, they just jumped on and they sent me several dozens of pairs, and we just formed this relationship. And so I'd always email this gal, you know, it was just great. I could always count on her. Okay. I've never met her, recognized her name, never met her. I'm at this ELC conference, and we're going around the room to introducing ourselves, and who's there?
There she is.
It's her. And we both look at each other. We kind of go, finally, we get to meet. And it was like we met each other for the first time. And I just couldn't tell her how much I appreciated her and her students, because her students were there in Charlotte and in Virginia. And they actually, you know, really invest the time into coming, let alone make the donation. So, I mean, we had 57 volunteers in Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that night at the bourbon tasting. I remember most of the night at the bourbon tasting, because we did have a couple of bourbons. But you told, I think, one of the best stories, and it really was personal for you, about your trip from a certain day after wedding all the way to Boston.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Yeah. My son got married. And of course, when you're looking at a marriage and being in a church, a lot of times you have to go along with what's available at the church. And so this being such an annual thing, me going off to the next conference, you know, and not that he was always aware of it, but, you know, I'm crossing my fingers, you know, any family activities, because, man, I can't miss it. This is part of my life. So when he shared with me, Dad, I'm getting married on this night, and I'm going, oh, no. Oh, can you move it to another day somewhere? And he goes, no, this is it. And I said, but I should be leaving actually that day.
For the conference.
Drive for that next event. And he goes, and my wife, of course, said, no, you're not missing the wedding. And I said, but, and I said, honey, I said, okay, but we got to leave the next morning early. We're driving. It's 22 hours. I said, I'll be there, and I'm willing to enjoy this wonderful day. But I said, we got to get up early. So we, with the wedding dance, course, there wasn't too many Bud Lights I could have because I had to get up. And we were on the road by 4 o'clock that morning and drove 17 hours to Pittsburgh and then had a few hours rest and then drove the rest of the leg.
But let's make sure people realize that you're driving from South Dakota at that point. Yeah. South Dakota to Pittsburgh. And was Pittsburgh to where was the final destination again? Was it D.C.
I think
or Boston?
It was Boston, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was Boston there.
You weren't just driving with you and your wife. You had several hundred pairs of shoes in the,
yeah,
in the car,
yeah,
let it down.
Yeah, it almost kind of obstructed our window view. And, of course, you pull over and, you know, when you're in some closer parking places and people would walk by and see these boxes, I'm sure they, even though they're all sealed, they didn't have any idea, but they thought, man, here's the family on the road.
This guy just robbed a Foot Locker right here. I don't know who he's
going. Yeah, but it's been a blessing and it's, you know, it just made a big difference in my life. And And it was at the time I needed it the most, and I'm just glad that it's been able to touch a lot of lives.
Well, Brad is a PTA, the very first PTA we've had on the program, and I want to focus on this, is that we're in the same field. I think some people are wondering, well, you know, how are PTs and PTAs related? You know, are we separate? Are we together? Look, we're in the clinics working at the same goal is the patients and the patient's care, and I just want to thank you for doing something so great with Shoes for Kids to make our profession look amazing, look like we care because we do. And I think this is a great one-on-one way to show how PTs, PTAs, PT students, PTA students, how we actually care. And you saw a need and you said that I'm gonna pick that thing and I'm gonna make it better.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. This is not a one-man show. You know, couldn't never done this by myself. This just goes to show you the compassion that I think our profession has always had, and we've shown it in a lot of different ways and continue to do it. And that's why I feel like I'm a part of a profession that, you know, I feel like I'm one of the luckiest people on earth. It's all about making that human experience positive. So if it's a new pair of shoes or helping them with their range of motion or how to walk with an assisted device, it's all about that human experience.
Next time you're at a conference, just ask somebody, hey, where's that Shoes for Kids guy? And you'll be able to shake Brad's hand. Brad Thuringer up in Watertown, South Dakota, working at Lake Area Technical Institute. And just thanks for all that effort since 2006. And I'll be bringing some shoes to the next conference I attend to make sure we bring that number just up a little bit higher.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. I look forward to seeing you in Omaha in a couple of weeks.
That sounds good. We'll have a drink there, and we'll definitely have you on the program again. We'll see how Shoes for Kids is progressing, and we'll see how we can get some more people involved.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the time.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.